Absolute Power by Mark Tavener, starring Stephen Fry and John Byrne.
Must see you at once, Archie. I'm going to a meeting, Clive. Clive?
Why do I get all the worst jobs?
Clive, 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 Clive. You get all the worst jobs because you're Clive. And what is it now, little one?
Well, it's the bald people image relaunch. You remember that chap who came in last week and you said, there is what I believe is termed a slaphead in reception. Give him to Clive.
Well, it does ring a distant bell, yes. Yeah,
and he wanted me to devise a campaign to make being bald hip, hot and happening.
And?
Well, it isn't. I mean, it's all very well when David Beckham does it, then it's trendy.
But fat, middle-aged blokes going bald, not very hip, hot and happening.
Exactly.
Yeah. So what did you do?
Well, I set up a national poetry competition to celebrate baldness. The theme was baldness as a thing of beauty, a sign of virility, that sort of thing.
And?
We've had some entries.
Oh, proud, erect, tumescent bonce.
It goes downhill after that. Try the next one.
My boiled egg. My own St. Paul's, I love you still in bed as I bounce off your tummy and the sun bounces off your head.
Yeah, I don't think it scans.
I'm not sure that's its biggest problem. Ah, the wanderer returns.
I've just come from a meeting with the Liberal Democrats, Charles.
And?
I'm tearing my hair out.
Charles, over here.
Oh, over there.
Are you sure this is safe?
Well, of course this is safe. This is the campaign to re-elect George W. Bush. There's nobody here at all.
Charles, I want you to meet somebody. She's over there.
Over there? Not here? Oh, I wish I'd brought the executive pogo stick.
Charles, follow the money.
It has been a cardinal principle of my life to follow the money.
Charles, follow the money.
Good God, you are the campaign to re-elect George W. Bush.
Charles, we have a commission for you.
Archie, I've heard of a whispering campaign, but this is ridiculous.
Charles, this is a personal request from the President of the United States.
It is imperative that the President is re-elected. The future of the free world depends upon it.
No, it doesn't.
Okay, my job depends upon it.
And so does yours. Charles, the PM is very keen for you to accept this commission. It will mean a year in the United States.
You mean it involves missing Wimbledon, a summer of test cricket, and England's footballers getting knocked out of Euro 2004 10 minutes after they've arrived? Oh, I don't think so. I would take an awful lot of persuading, I fear.
How about the finest hotels, the use of a private jet, a great deal of money, and the challenge of your life?
That really is an awful lot of persuading.
Nope.
But, Martin, this is it. This is the ultimate test. After this, you can put your feet up, sit in your rural paradise...
And spend the rest of my life thinking George W. Bush paid for it. But there is some corner of some Devon village that is forever W.
You're not having one of your periodic fits of morality, are you?
Everyone has to draw the line somewhere.
No, they don't.
Well, everyone except you does. I decline to lift one finger to get Bush re-elected. I cannot stand George W. Flaming Bush.
This is a personal request from the PM.
Well, I don't like him much.
Well, that does rather make my point, if I may say so. It doesn't stop you from accepting his money, does it?
Well, right, that's a fair point. But there is a difference. The Prime Minister is not actively wicked. He's a silly little boy who means well.
I am going to accept this commission.
Fine. Well, I'm not.
It will mean the parting of the ways.
Then so be it.
After all the years, I can't bear the tears to fall.
I can.
I can't live if living is without you.
I can. Oh, I shall miss you, of course. I've been looking forward to missing you for years. You're so difficult to miss while you're still here.
Your claret, messieurs.
Do I need this? Thank you, Maurice.
Maurice, monsieur.
Maurice, one man celebrates, he contemplates the tapestry of life. Another man hates to wash the plates in a tapas bar in Lewisham.
That does not rhyme, monsieur.
Well, I know it doesn't rhyme.
Ce n'est pas one of your best.
Maurice?
And monsieur?
Claret off, Maurice.
I clean and shine and polish your head, my genie's lamp. The money we've saved on shampoo has paid for a house in Hampstead.
Dave.
Dave.
Your mop on top is long gone. There's nothing up above. But I don't care about your hair, mon cher. It's you I love.
Clive, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to kill you. Come here to be killed.
No, I didn't ask for this commission.
No, I suppose grudgingly that is a mitigating circumstance. Very well. Sentence commuted to hard labour.
But the bald people image relaunch is hard labour. That poem's the best one we've had so far.
Happily, I have bigger fish to fry. Martin will see to the others.
Oh, Lord.
Martin is taking over all my clients.
Lucky Martin.
Now, you've already got the Lib Dems. What are they after, exactly?
They're looking to grow. They need somewhere bigger to keep all their faces.
Yes. Oh, the National Association of Funeral Directors.
What?
They want an image relaunch. Well, you'll think of something. Tell them to show up at funerals with George Melly suits and banjos and send them an invoice. Ah, now, this one is rather difficult.
Ainsley Harriet?
Wants people to take him seriously as an artist.
Oh.
You can always change your mind, you know.
I am perfectly capable of running Prentice McCabe on my own, thank you.
Are you? Yes, yes, of course you are. Well, look, come and meet my American friend anyway, if only for curiosity's sake.
I bet she wears dark glasses.
Well, yes, she does, as a matter of fact.
And a slightly sinister look.
Difficult to tell under the glasses.
She paying for lunch?
Certainly.
Well, I suppose the more money she spends on lunch, the less she'll have for re-electing W.
Yes, well, that's one way of looking at it.
I've been telling Alexandra all about you, Martin.
The philosopher king of political spin.
Well, I can hardly say that.
Neither would I.
Of course, philosophy isn't exactly my subject.
No, I can believe that.
I spent 3 years reading socioeconomic and geopolitical pan-global theory.
Took you 3 years to read that, did it?
You know, Martin, back home we're very big fans of your prime minister.
Well, I should take him with you. He's going cheap in the sales. Suspend him over the Potomac and throw eggs at him.
Very droll, Martin.
Yes, he is droll, isn't he? He exhibits his drollness in the Tate Modern.
And I know how highly your services are valued by Prime Minister Blair. Excuse me?
Sorry, it's just Prime Minister Blair is such a ghastly Americanism. Well, I suppose it's to be expected.
You're being particularly droll today, aren't you, Martin?
Look, my point is this. We want to buy Prentice McCabe as a package. We want the both of you. Guys, you're a team. Archie here tells me you're inseparable, like gum on a frog's ass.
You said that, did you, Archie?
I don't remember saying it.
Martin, what do I do to get you on board?
Endeavour to get through an entire English sentence without using the word ass. Oh, I'm sorry, you can't, can you? You're an American.
Your behaviour was unpardonable, unpardonable. It was pure xenophobia. Against anyone but Americans, it would be called racism.
No, pompous nonsense. It was cheery, friendly banter. Hold the cheery, hold the friendly, give me a banter to go.
If there is one thing I cannot endure, it is mindless anti-Americanism.
Oh, I quite agree. I despise mindlessness.
And you sit there, drinking the woman's cognac, spending her money like there's no tomorrow.
Charles, did you see the number of security blokes she'd brought with her? It would have cost more than our lunch to buy them one chip each.
Well, that's it. That's categorically it. I have no scruples.
Well, that's true, Charles, but it's not breaking news.
I have no scruples about leaving you to it.
The parting of the ways.
Yes, the parting of the ways.
The fond farewell.
Hold the fond. And whilst we're about it, some more of my clients for you. Oh, yes, Martin, this is where you're going to have to grow up in a hurry. This is where you discover work. Reality is about to strike.
And now the end is near. My locks must face the final parting.
Get out!
Have a good trip, Charles.
America, land of the dirty trick. You know, it's one of the great regrets of my life that I was too young for Watergate.
Oh, Watergate was a monumental cock-up, Charles.
Only because I wasn't there.
Well, I wish you good luck. Charles, just because you're in Washington, it doesn't mean you're not still working for TB.
Indeed not.
He's taking a keen interest in this election. The thing is, he's got very close to this president, really very close. Some people might think too close. And, I mean, it's not for us to interfere in the democratic process of another country.
Indeed not.
That's why we want you to do it for us. You see, the fact is that if there were to be a huge swing against Bush, it might have knock-on effects, if you take my meaning.
Yes, quite so. We wouldn't want the PM left looking a complete tit, would we?
Least of all when an election of our own is beckoning. Of course, it does mean you'll miss most of our election planning over here, but never mind. I'm sure we can leave things in Martin's capable hands.
Oh, good heavens, yes. Shower him with work. Martin loves work. Tons and tons of it.
Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear.
Shall I pour your morning claret, Martin?
I haven't got time.
What?
I'm afraid claret may be a thing of the past. Clive, see how this grabs you. Featuring Dame Judi Dench, Sir Donald Sinden, and starring Ainsley Sirius Harriet as King Lear. What do you think?
Well, it's all right, but if Charles were here, he'd have renamed the whole thing Ready, Steady, King.
Yes. You know, it's amazing the sheer amount Charles got through. It really is amazing the amount he got through. Now, what else is on the agenda?
Oh, you've got the funeral directors at 3.
Yeah, they may be just in time.
Yeah, the Australian rugby team at 4.
What?
They want an image relaunch. Then we're having a meeting about my ball people, and then you're telling Piers Morgan how to make people love him.
Urgent meeting, Archie. Oh, dear.
Oh, Martin, you do know you were supposed to be in a meeting with the Liberal Democrats about half an hour ago.
Yeah, you did mention it.
Well, they're still waiting.
Clive, the Liberal Democrats have been waiting 100 years. They're good at it.
Your role in the election is vital.
To see off Michael Howard?
Good Lord, no. We're not worried about him.
Really? Have you ever heard of the arrogance of power, Archie? He's terribly good in the Commons, you know.
Michael Howard? Really, Martin, it's most unlike you to be so Westminster Village. Michael Howard is excellent on Planet Parliamentary Sketch Writer. In the rest of the country, he's something you threaten the children with.
You're terribly confident about this, aren't you?
The health service is safe in Michael Howard's hands. Do you think so?
Well...
Michael Howard is a warm, wonderful, cuddly bunny. Honest.
Yes, yes, I do see your point.
We're not worried about him. Well, a bit, but not unduly. Our concern is the enemy.
Sorry, I'm being rather slow. The enemy?
Exactly.
Gordon.
Precisely.
You want him shafted?
Got it in one.
And I'm to be Chief Brown Shafter.
I want him psychologically flawed and politically buggered. Frankly, Martin, the PM has just about had it with Gordon. It's one thing after another.
Yes, yes. Low inflation, low interest rates, record low unemployment.
What?
Must be very galling for your chap. I mean, everything worthwhile this government's actually done has been done by Gordon, hasn't it?
Martin, I don't think you're quite hearing me.
I mean, what does your bloke contribute when you come down to it? A cheesy grin. You feel he ought to be sat at the piano playing a medley of family favourites. Except the only one he knows is I Can't Give You Anything But Love, baby. But the audience is sick of that song.
Martin, I do hope you understand your role in the great scheme of things.
Oh, I understand it. You want me to take a clever, principled, substantial politician and cover his reputation in muck because your chap can't stand the comparison.
Yes. I mean, no. Martin, this is no time for being brilliant but fundamentally unsound.
Charles, over here.
Over where?
Here.
Ah, what? Ah, yes, I see.
Are you sure this is safe?
Safe? This is a phone box the size of the Dorchester. Only in America.
The president was most impressed, Charles.
Thank you.
So, what did you make of him?
He seemed very straightforward and uncomplicated.
You're being patronizing.
No, not at all. There's a lot to be said for a politician who does what it says on the tin, so to speak.
He's not completely stupid, Charles.
Well, do stop apologizing. Simplicity is a virtue in politics. I mean it. You know, I've worked for TB for 6 years, and I haven't a clue who he is. To every Blair, there is an equal and opposite reaction, Blair. I don't know who he is. I wonder if he does.
Well, I'm glad you found Washington so uncomplicated. Can I give you a ride somewhere?
No. Since I'm here, I'll phone my old partner in crime, see how he's getting on. Nose to the grindstone, shoulder to the wheel, or face first in the pool?
Give Martin my regards.
I will. He might always give them back, of course.
No, I would not say I'm enjoying it. Do you know, I haven't been to the club for a claret in 2 weeks.
And I'm sure you feel all the better for it.
I do not feel all the better for it. I've been following a settled routine for years. It is most inconvenient having it disrupted by work.
Well, someone has to do it.
Yes, but the someone always used to be you. You like this sort of thing.
You've got Clive to help you?
Yes, oh gosh, yes.
You do sound as if your heart is not in it.
Well, it's a damn funny way to govern a country when you come down to it. My mission on behalf of Number 10 is to lunch political journalists and tell them there's no truth in the rumours that Gordon is right up his tartan straitjacket.
The point being, there were no such rumours till you started them.
Exactly. My dear chap, I assure you the Chancellor does not chew pillows. He does not run around the Treasury stark naked, covered in woad with straw in his hat. He does not ring up the Governor of the Bank of England and start singing, "They're coming to take me away, ha-ha."
And the mud sticks.
And so does the straw, precisely. And I keep thinking, on the whole, I rather prefer him to the other pillock.
It's not a view I'd share with Archie, if I were you.
But what has any of this to do with serious government?
After 6 years of muck-spreading, filth-peddling and mischief-making, I have no hesitation in leaving that question unanswered.
You should see the British papers.
Yeah, we do get the British papers over here. We've actually got the internet in America, Martin, believe it or not. Mind you, in fairness to you, old fossil, I must say I am most impressed.
Gordon Brown, a doctor, writes... The Chancellor of the Exchequer, Mr. Barking Looney Tunes Brown, denies team of psychiatrists on permanent standby.
I particularly liked Brown abolishes VAT on white coats. This is all your handiwork?
I'm very much afraid it is.
Well, it's excellent. It's almost worthy of me. You should be proud of yourself.
Well, I'm not. Frankly, I feel unclean. Of course, you love all this, don't you?
My dear chap, in an American presidential election, this would be positively tame. You should hear what we're saying about the Democrats. The senator has invented a whole new meaning for the term cattle-rearing. The congressman was not sent to Washington for that sort of congress. He is a philanderer, a liar, a criminal and a pervert.
And you're reveling in it.
I haven't had this much fun since the day we got that email from Downing Street. Do you remember? It has come to the PM's attention that Claire Short has a reputation for being honest and principled. Kindly deal with this reputation immediately.
Yes. Yes, and you did.
Oh, my paws and whiskers. Where there's muck and all that.
How nice to be happy in your work.
Martin, you will look after the Downing Street retainer, won't you? You will remember who pays for the claret, even if you don't have time to drink it. You won't do anything silly.
It's a thought.
No, it is not a thought. Prentice McCabe has standards to live down to. It is our vocation and our pleasure to lower the moral tone right through the floor, the basement, and the foundations. That is your sacred trust.
Charles, run this past me again. This is a wheeze, right?
Exactly.
Called Operation Marx Brothers. Explain the thinking.
And it's very simple. Its purpose is to reduce the Democratic campaign to the level of total farce.
I get you. It's such a pity Al Gore's not standing. He reduced their last campaign to a farce on his own.
I can't help feeling Al Gore would have received a positive boost if a man in a Harpo Marx wig had cut his tie off and started playing improbable harp music. Would have made him more interesting.
Okay, well, feed me some ideas.
Well, now, we'll start in a small way with simple double bookings of rooms. If the Democrats have booked a hall for one of their rallies, we'll book the same hall for the annual convention of Maurice Chevalier impersonators. I think a combination of My Fellow Americans and Thank Heaven for Little Girls should take the edge off their serious message.
I like it.
And now next, we'll work the Lydia the Tattooed Lady wheeze. God, I love America. What other country? Where else could you lift a phone and say, get me 1,000 tattooed ladies called Lydia?
Consider it done. You seem very at home here, Charles.
Oh, it's wonderful. Your elections are so up close and personal. I feel as if my talents have been cramped and stifled all these years. In our country, we have to pretend everyone's an honourable member or a noble baroness, even though we all know they're nothing of the kind.
Thought you were abstaining.
I was, and thoroughly miserable it made me.
You're missing Charles, aren't you?
Well, yeah, if I'm honest, I suppose so. There's something about exuberant malevolence. It sort of cheers you up.
I even miss being insulted by Charles.
Yeah, he does it well, I grant you that.
Clive, you are not the future of spin. You are the drip of publicity.
Martin, are you a human being or an interesting experiment? But so positive, so brimful of malicious energy.
Very hard-working.
Obnoxious, of course.
Intensely dislikable. By far the nastiest boss I've ever had.
Still, I do miss the obnoxious, dislikable bastard. If only there was some way of getting him back.
Not a cat's chance in hell.
It's odd, that, isn't it?
What is?
A cat. I mean, given that the only thing any normal cat wants to do is curl up by the nearest fire, you might have thought its chances in hell were quite positive. Or is that a piece of irrelevant mental meandering?
Yes, it is.
Yes, yes, I suppose it is.
The president is not happy, Charles.
I simply don't understand why. We've got one Democratic candidate flatly denying he ever said, thank heaven for little girls, and another one strenuously rejecting claims about a fetish for tattooed ladies.
It's too crude. It's too simplistic.
It'll be ridiculous. You're an American. Anyway, you said, and I remember it distinctly, that you liked my thinking.
That was before the president said he didn't like it. So now I don't. He wants to be presidential and sophisticated.
Well, that's not an image relaunch, that's a personality transplant.
You don't do sophisticated, do you, Charles? Oh, I always knew we should have hired Martin. I mean, that business with the horse, Charles, you don't do that in Wyoming. California, yes. Wyoming, no. Look, there are lots of ways to say this, and I can't be bothered with any of them. You're fired.
Time for a change. The sun.
Yes, yes. Well, let's be honest, it is, isn't it?
No, Martin, it is not. All we are saying is give Gordon a chance. The Mirror.
Here, here.
Martin, what are you saying? Are you responsible for this press coverage?
It is possible that remarks of mine to certain journalists may have been misconstrued. Or even probably construed.
Let's give the prime smarmy boots the bum's rush. Let's wipe the silly grin off his silly face. Let's say, once and for all, take your sub-Churchillian cobblers and stick it in the knacker's yard. The Financial Times.
Succinct and lucid as ever.
Modest improvement in Tunisian inflation, the Independent. Let's lower the tone, preferably off a cliff. The Times Literary Supplement.
Yes.
What do you mean, yes?
Well, I suppose I mean, yes. Face it, Archie, your man has become a bore.
A bore?
Oh, a terrible bore.
Martin, you have been fundamentally unsound.
Yes.
Once too often. The children are running around number 10 singing, my old man's a smarmy boot, he wears a smarmy hat, he thinks he's Winston Churchill, really he's a... Yeah. Well, anyway, that's neither here nor there. And much the same might be said of you. Martin, you are irrevocably fired.
Am I? Oh, well, in that case, time for a change, toot toot. Charles!
Martin, old chap.
How obnoxious to see you. How are you?
I'm fine, fine.
All well in Washington?
Oh, they can't get enough of me over there. George was only saying that last night.
It's easy to forget quite how dislikable someone is.
I remember distinctly I was in the middle of explaining global strategy to Condé. Or was it Rummy? Anyway, that's quite enough about you. How's the agency?
In the pink? Not dissimilar colour.
The Downing Street retainer? The flurry of We Want Gordon press stories. They wouldn't be anything to do with you, would they? Only, and I mean this in the nicest possible way, you do, on occasion, go peculiar. I'm not impugning your sanity, stability, or taste in trousers, but you do, once in a while, go peculiar.
I'm not denying it.
They were you, weren't they?
To some extent.
And the Downing Street retainer?
Is not actually being retained at the moment, or ever again, in fact.
Martin, why?
Because, I don't know quite how to say this without being sick, but I thought if I went just a bit peculiar, Archie might feel impelled to call you back.
Oh, well, I don't quite know what to say. Well, I do, actually. Well, the thing is, I wasn't actually talking to Condé and Rummy last night, or Georgie, or Colin. I was being deported.
What?
I'm an undesirable alien.
I know that.
But I'm an undesirable alien who's been fired. They said they wished they'd got Martin instead.
Oh, well, I'm very touched. So you're back, and now I can start looking forward to missing you again.
Yes, the thing is, we haven't got the Washington account and we haven't got the Downing Street account.
No, we've got the funeral directors, ball people and the Liberal Democrats.
Well, they're hardly going to keep us in the style to which we've become accustomed, are they?
Charles, how good to see you.
Is it? Well, I'll soon put a stop to that.
I've got the winner of the poetry competition. Farewell, dear comb. Good night, sweet jojoba.
Shut up!
Your claret, messieurs.
Oh, yeah. I don't suppose there's any chance of having this claret on the slate, as though we're a little short at the moment.
For you, monsieur? No. Oh, there's a phone message. Monsieur Brown?
What?
He wished to buy you dinner at Granita.
Martin. Well, well.
Gentlemen and Clive.
Thank you, Charles.
A toast to Prentice McCabe. The future is bright. The future is Gordon.
You've been listening to Absolute Power by Mark Tavener. It stars Stephen Fry and John Byrne, with Alex Lowe, Tom George and Beth Chalmers. The music was by Matthew Scott, and the producer was Dawn Ellis.